Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zachar Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is another blessed day that we have to join together and standing on the wall, keeping our emotions in check and praying for the Office of the President. Today, I titled it Provision Through the Transition as we are entering into a season of Passover and the transition out of the past season of where we have been and going into a new season of where we will be going into where the Lord has called us. And it doesn't mean necessarily that it's a place of relaxation as the Israelites thought. And it's a place of continued obedience in the Lord while at the same time going out and being obedient with the Lord's called us and the places he's called us to take back the land, take back authority with where we have authority. Now, I want to start off in scripture today in 1 Kings 17. And for some reason, it is not letting me pull it up on the screen. So I do apologize. But if you open your Bibles on your app or your phone, you can go back and read it. It's really the first six or seven verses of that story. And I'll highlight verse 6, which is one I really want to focus on. And verse 1 talks about, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word.' And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I will command the ravens to provide for you there.' So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan." And verse 6, I'll bring this up, is that the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink by the brook. Again, these timelines that are revealed within throughout scripture. And then verse 7 goes on to say, says that it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So this is also kind of what we were talking about yesterday, in going to the places and being where the Lord has called us to be, being obedient to what the Lord's called us. And in this example, Elijah is given multiple occasions of when to go, where to go. Okay, it's time to leave this land, go to this next land. I've provided for you. And so as we go through these seasons of transition, knowing that the Lord can provide for us and will provide for us as we are walking in that relationship and obedience with him, knowing which battles to go into, which battles not to go into, so that we can be in a place of provision from the Lord. Such as those who in Shreveport-Bossier last night who had some heavy downfall and bad weather, and some lost power, some didn't. So we're praying for you guys. Hope everyone's okay as power. Didn't have their houses damaged, but that's an example of it. And so we want to pray there on this point that the Lord God would bring the supply that we need in the midst of any transition that we are going through in this season, and especially as we're going through this transition season with what's going on in the government. I'll get to that today. But first, I want to give some updates on the issue in Ukraine. There is now, for some reason, I'm unable to bring this up. I don't know why. There is rumors that Russia, now with the new general who fought in Syria, is using chemical weapons in Mariupol and other regions in the east of Ukraine of where they're fighting. Now, the issue at play here is not just the fact that they're using chemical weapons, but that, number one, we haven't verified them yet. So the Biden administration is, well, let's hold off. We can't further push this, because if you remember back when President Biden went to Poland, this is where this could cause we have warnings about a potential misfire. Why we want to pray for them to have wisdom is, when he was in Poland, he says, we will act swiftly and we will act in kind if they were to use biological weapons and or nuclear weapons, which is very alarming, not only for the United States, but for the rest of the world. So with seeing these things come to the forefront, you know, if you remember the Obama administration, well, I draw the red line here, and then they just walked right over, the Iranians walked right over it. And so we're seeing this stuff play out here. And this is where we really, really, really want to pray for this administration, because not only are there rumors of this stuff happening, okay, it hasn't been 100% totally confirmed from international sources. Ukraine has verified it themselves. It's not really sure you can 100% trust that, as they're asking for weapons and money and other things. There have been cries and calls for the international organizations to come out and basically investigate and try to see if there's actually been chemical weapons. That would probably be the best thing. But again, the same general that used chemical weapons in Syria is now ahead of the Russian army who's fighting in Ukraine. So most likely he started last week, and now you're starting to see all the same things that happened there. And so we're seeing this play out. Also, at the same time, Bloomberg News is reporting that the U.S. is preparing to send a massive new surge of military aid to Ukraine in the sum of $750 million in assistance of weapons and materials and things that they've been asking for, while we have also sent them $2.4 billion in humanitarian aid, weapons, and et cetera, and other stuff. So we're about to send them in total of upper $3 billion while we have our issues economically at home. Lance Wallnau has been doing a good job of this, of pointing out that what's alarming about this is the fact that we're sending all this stuff, but how do we know it's getting to the intended end user? How do we know people aren't walking away from it? And there's people, Ukrainian officials found in other countries around the world with suitcases full of money, suitcases full of gold jewelry and high value items. It could be coming from this. It could be just mainly corruption. So we really need to be praying for wisdom and revelation for this administration. And it's not just the Biden administration, Biden himself. It's the people who are under him, and it's the people who are under them. Some of them are young, very young. They have no worldly understanding as far as international relations. So they need prayer in this season more than ever, as well as those like a Jake Sullivan, Susan Rice, et cetera. The list goes on and on, who are advising the president. And then you need those people who are advising them, giving them information. And those are the people we need to be praying for. And there are some believers in those. It would be shocking to understand that and wrap our heads around that sometimes, of how could you support some of the policies this administration does. But like a Daniel, there are those who have close relationships with the Lord who yet are still able to be in these positions, even in the midst of all this craziness. And those are the people we want to be praying for they continue to walk in that relationship with the Lord and continue to walk out being that example, being that light in this administration during this time, especially with what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, for the potential of a World War III that's laying before us. And that's what is the warning here of what the enemy is trying to pull everybody into. Okay. Now I want to focus on domestic issues, because there's a lot of stuff going on with Ukraine and Russia else, more battles and unfortunately people dying. But at the end of the day, that's the key point of where this administration is involved in this and what's the potential to be concerned about. And then I want to move into some domestic issues. I talked about it yesterday a little bit about how you're going to see a lot this week, inflation. And with the whole CPI numbers coming out yesterday of 8.5, 40-year high, et cetera, you're now seeing Democrats and Joe Manchin, more importantly, Kyrsten Sinema, your moderate Democrats, come out and say, we're going to fight this. We have to do whatever we can to end this. And that hurts Biden in a good way. It hurts Biden's and Bernie Sanders' agenda of spend, socialism, et cetera. So it stops that. And then we've been talking about how those in the center and right of center are all like, yay, red wave. At the same time, I'm going to put this link when I'm done, but there's an article from MSNBC which calls the moves by Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and other Democrats to not go forward with Biden's Build Back Better agenda as cold-blooded move to push millions of Americans back into poverty. And the article goes on to talk about how because people who are no longer getting these child tax credits, they're unable to send their kids to basically a private preschool and schools in general. And now they're having to use credit cards and stuff like that, blah, 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 that's a empirical one-off instance where you could probably look at their budget. I could guarantee this. You could look at their budget and say, well, if you cut this, and this out, then you could send your kid to school even with the income that you do make. These are luxuries. These aren't needs. They're not talking about, oh, I need to put food on the table, at least in this story. There are some cases where that is the case. But my point is that if you're going to say, you know, Manchin is cold-blooded, they want these entitlements. So I point this out. Okay, you see the right doing this, but you also see the left doing this of this story. They want these entitlements. This is what Chris Reed's dream is telling us about. And I point this story out from MSNBC, showing that there are still those who are not just in utter poverty, those who are wealthy and everywhere in between. There's a different side of this scenario because there's a different worldview that they believe. Now, in reality, understanding economics and psychological decisions that need to be made that are for the betterment of an individual, yes, social welfare programs are the last resort, and they want to make this the first resort in this scenario. And so as the Biden administration continues to blame Putin for the rise of inflation over the last several months, again, this has been going on since day one of Biden's presidency, and it's not just with what the Biden administration has done. It goes further back than that, heck, all the way back to Clinton, of why we're here in this decision. But the interesting thing here, something to pay attention to, is I've talked about it before, but this is the reason I want to point this out is because this is continued madness. And I think a continued understanding of how long this could potentially persist, of how the White House is on Monday before the report came out yesterday, was basically saying that they expected the numbers to be as high as it was because they want to act like they have control of it. I think they realized, oh, we don't have control of it. And Biden predicted that March would be the height of it and that it would start going down after that. Well, they say that, and the headline from Real Clear Politics says that the White House expects more inflation, not recession. But the problem is that the longer you go of having high inflation, it turns into a recession. We're at the point of stagflation where it's kind of in the middle of no man's land, and we're headed towards a recession. And the Fed and its policy decisions aren't necessarily wise. Now, President Biden came out yesterday and said that the height is now moved back to December of this year. So last December, he was saying March, and been saying that, oh, it's transitory. It's not going to last long. And now he's saying, well, because, like I said, as they're acting like they have control, it's going to be December. They have no control over this. If you listen to any economist who's worth his grain in salt, they'll tell you, and the Wall Street Journal article points it out that I'll post, that if you really want to get a handle on inflation, you have to raise interest rates higher than what inflation is now to prevent people from continuing to use credit cards, debt to pay for things. Because as in their eyes, as the interest rate is lower, they're going to continue to want to borrow money. And this is something that they should have looked at a year ago. And former Obama, Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, talked about this well over a year ago and warned of everything that's happening right now. And his solutions are the solutions that the Biden administration is trying to do, releasing the oil reserves, putting out more stimulus, which that is not what you should be doing right now. That is very short-lived. In the long run, it ultimately hurts the economy, but I digress. So you're seeing this push from the Biden administration to say, okay, now we understand it. It's out of control, or it's under control. We expect this because of Putin. They're pivoting to use whatever situation to benefit them. But in reality, they have no control. And this is part of the problem with the system of having the Federal Reserve be involved in this and not letting the free market play itself out. But this is where we're at. I say all this. This is where we're at. Of now, even Biden himself thinks that it's going to go till the midterms and after, possibly this year. Prophetic lines up with that. Could be potentially longer if he keeps making certain decisions like this. And then you have the hypocrisy. I briefly touched on it yesterday about how Biden's new pitch to lessen the gas prices because he wants to help the Americans' pocketbooks by lowering cost of suspending the ethanol E15 ban for the summer months to help lower the cost of gas, which the reason it's in place is to prevent smog and other air pollutions, which if you're going this whole green energy route, but yet when it's convenient for you, you're going to suspend it. But at the same time, you're not going to make decisions that ultimately would put more oil, not just ethanol, more oil back on the market to help not only the United States, but the rest of the world. It's just a total double-mindedness that's going on, a thing of confusion. And again, more reason of why we need to pray for this administration, but also more importantly, as these votes and these bills come up for these next couple months and the importance of standing against this agenda that's being led by Bernie Sanders, if you remember our dream from that, of with all this craziness that goes on. Yes, we want to provision through the transition, but also intercede for both sides of the political aisle, congressional and Senate leaders, to stand against this agenda that has been shown to cripple the next 3 to 4 generations. That is still at play as the Build Back Better, the Green New Deal agenda is trying to be pushed, whether it be through bills, executive orders, unknown mandates that are going on behind the scenes by alphabet soup offices within Washington, D.C. People need to stand up to this. People need to, number one, be aware of it and realize it. And unfortunately, it's taking their pocketbooks to be crunched for them to really understand why these policy decisions are just horrific in and of itself. And if that's what it takes, then the Lord's going to let that happen. And unfortunately, some people will have to suffer in that scenario. Now, I want to end on start winding down on a couple really good stories. Number one, this one is really all over the news in that because if you've ever heard of the term Zuckerbucks, where Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, had a organization called the Center for Technology and Civic Life, where they donated upwards of $350 million to state and local election boards to help help, quote unquote, the mail-in voting process, private money going to certain locations. I know in here in North Carolina, there are lawsuits being brought up. I know Wisconsin as well. Other states are bringing lawsuits against this organization because of discrepancies, to say the least, at least alleged discrepancies. So there's this. But the interesting thing is that they're saying they won't meddle in the next election after backlash from conservatives and a new film coming out exposing where this stuff comes from. And also the fact that they are under the gun legally for the allegations that are out there. So good news there. Now, if there's another quote unquote pandemic, will they go back after it? They're saying they won't, but then Breitbart actually does a good job of saying they're going to actually, through another organization called the U.S. Alliance for Elections Excellence, give – it's a five-year program where they're going to give upwards of $80 million to local election officials who apply for financial assistance to improve election processes. Again, these private donations and how elections are run, technologies, all this other stuff. Very interesting to see this come out. So if you're involved and you're aware of what's going on in your local election boards and you see that they're getting involved in this, you can rise up and stand up and say, enough. No. Private donations for something that, number one, should be funded by local taxpayers. But in reality, it doesn't take that much funding to run them. And then number two, you're having a extreme political bias get involved in your election, quote unquote, process. So there's plenty of money at the state and local levels to deal with this. You don't need extra, quote unquote, funding to help with these things unless you have something nefarious going on. So something, a good thing. Okay, they're not going to do it supposedly, but also be aware of it moving forward as they've shifted how they're doing it from the Center for Technology and Civic Life to an organization called the U.S. Alliance for Election Excellence. Again, trying to make it look good. And then in other, this is kind of a double-edged sword here. There's bills out of Oklahoma and Colorado. The one in Oklahoma, it is for after Roe v. Wade gets overturned, where it protects unborn babies from abortion, period, outright. Like, it is the most, probably one of the most far-reaching bills if it were to go into effect after Roe v. Wade gets struck down, of ending abortion outright. So that's a good side. The crazy bad side is, for those in Colorado, the governor has signed a law that legitimately dismisses the equity, quote unquote, of the rights of an unborn child, a fetus, whatever they deem it as, define it as, literally has no rights. And ending the life of a preborn, postborn child is no longer a crime whatsoever in Colorado. And so you're seeing this battle play out within these laws that are being passed in the states. And the states and the state legislatures are letting themselves be known about where they stand on this issue. And so as we gear up towards the end of April, May, we're getting to June, when the Supreme Court will most likely release its ruling on this issue, we want to pray for SCOTUS. And more so, we want to first repent for the laws of legalizing murder in the United States and for the murder of innocent babies, and intercede for the Golden Court case on the pro-life bills going before the Supreme Court, the Texas bill, the Mississippi bill, and for the judges to have wisdom and revelation as they rule. And specifically, Kavanaugh and Roberts. We were shown that a couple months ago. We want to continue to walk that out, continue to pray for that, continue to intercede on that issue, because they're still haven't fully released their reports yet, fully released their ruling. So as we get closer to that, the battle's going to increase. As you're starting to see these bills, each state is saying, this is where we're standing. This is where we're standing. Some are standing for death, some are standing for life. And so you're seeing that. Now, it's for those within those states, wherever your state falls, know that it's time to make a decision to continue supporting those who are supporting life or to make a decision on those who are supporting death now and in the days ahead. And last, I want to close out on a great example of how the natural reveals the spiritual. And this story with Elon Musk buying shares of Twitter and then refusing his right to join the board of Twitter so that he can potentially buy more shares of Twitter and help bring back free speech to Twitter. Now, this isn't a hooray, Elon. It's a look. This is a natural revealing the spiritual of when you take a stand, even if it's one voice, you take a stand and you be the light. And look, Elon is no righteous saint, to say the least. There are some things that he's doing that if most Americans knew, they would be appalled at. But I'm not going there today. But I'm saying that even if you stand on a principle, even if you're living in sin, number one, and you're doing things that are very nefarious, to say the least, and you stand for life and light, more so, and freedom in this instance, that those within that arena, they're going to feel the ground shake. And that's what's happening in Twitter. The people within Twitter and employees understand what's happening. And Elon's been talking about it, about he's seeing that a lot of those who are in Twitter's offices are dusting off their resumes because they're potentially going to have to need to find other jobs because he may want to do a hostile takeover. Most likely looks at what he's going at because there are problems at bay at Twitter with banning free speech. Even though the things that they banned are now being brought up to the light because they were the truth. And there are some things that are crazy and all this stuff, whatever. But it still doesn't deny the fact that people have the freedom to be able to say crazy things. Just because you let something hide in a corner doesn't mean that people aren't saying it anymore. So I tell this story of even someone who is in... And look, all sin falls short of the glory of God, but even someone who is unknown not to be a Christian, let's just say that, who stands up on a principle for freedom of speech and for the truth, to allow the truth to come forward, the people start realizing the authority that has, that principle has, that someone who stands for that has, and literally causing the ground to shake. And where are we in our lives? Could we, where we know things are going on, whether it be in our personal lives, whether it be in our families, in our local communities, in our states, we can see things on the big stage. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, where has the Lord called us to get involved? Where has the Lord told us to go into? Where is he transitioning us into? And know that, as we talked about from the beginning, if he will provide those provisions to get us through the transition and into the transition and further on, where he will provide for all our needs in abundance, where what Clay Nash has been prophesying about, how we'll be giving from our abundance, not from sacrifice. And so we want to end on that note of, if we see the natural reveal of spiritual, continue to stand on these principles, but be obedient to what the Lord has called us, as he has shown throughout scripture and is showing right now for those who are walking in relationship with him and standing up for kingdom life principles, that he will continue to provide and provide abundantly for us as we continue to walk out in faith what he has called us to for our destiny. So blessings to each and every one of you who are following along. Forget we have our appeal to heaven noon prayer, where we continue at noon praying for and appealing to heaven for this nation and the destiny of this nation to get back to what God has for this nation, of being a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And I'll be back tomorrow to close out the week before Passover. So I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.